Is your past destroying your future? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Bob Williamson, who was abused by his father when younger, that he destroyed his life in his adulthood.
I think that many of us can run into the situation in our lives where we just focus on what happened to us and how hard it was and have these filters. So I can say for myself, growing up, when I went through hard times and when I started hanging around even the gang, I would start to, as I got older, have past memories of it and fears. And I was traumatized. And when I would go into certain areas, it was hard for me. So I believe my past really held me back, and even not having a dad. And so I was constantly living in, if only I would have had a dad, or, you know, I didn't feel loved. And so I can relate to it in that way. And I believe a lot of people struggle with that.
I think a lot of people do. You know, when they look around and they see people with fathers and mothers, and they're like, man, you know, my parents were divorced, or I didn't even have a dad. I didn't even have a mom. And it gets to the point where there's like this lack, or even when people get like abused.
Yeah.
You know, and when someone's getting abused so much that their worldview becomes, in a sense, warped or wounded, they start viewing people as very harsh creatures.
Right.
Not of love, not of kindness, not of acceptance, but it becomes a very cold, hard world. And it's easy for people who have had a traumatic childhood to later on go in life and be able to get past that.
Right.
Because so many times, and there's many who are listening, maybe, you know, you haven't had a huge traumatic childhood, but just think about your life. There's something in your past that could be, in a sense, even holding you back. Maybe it's not destroying you, but it's keeping you from doing what God is calling you fully to do.
Right.
Fears, filters, like you said.
Right, words spoken over their lives, which has happened to me, where I've had people say, well, you'll pretty much never amount to anything. And that would, that could either propel you to do something and say, I'm going to show you, or it could do the opposite and make you feel defeated.
Right.
And that's happened. And because of our words, they're so powerful. But the things that have happened, these events, and I could understand how someone who's been beaten and abused and not feeling that love could have a hard heart or feel like nobody loves me and it's time to survive. I got to live for myself and just make it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so what do you do? What do you do with that? Because I think all of us who are listening, sometime in your life, something traumatic maybe happened in your childhood and it's shaping the way your life is today. It's shaping the way that you're thinking and, in a sense, either limiting or even making you to do things that are destroying your life. How do you get rid of the old? Because so many times we're looking, we're driving a car and we're looking at the rear view mirror and focusing on it so bad that we're not looking at what's ahead. And I mean, that's a disaster.
Right.
That's going to be a disaster. So what happened for me when I accepted Christ, something changed.
Yeah.
It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And when it says passed away, it means like gone, not remembered, no longer affecting your future, no longer affecting your life.
You become born again and you can get that love. You get a new heart. And the Lord says to renew your mind. And we do that by reading the Word of God. Let's hear from Bob after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by 32nd Avenue Cleaners and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Whether you need your suit, dress shirt, or dress dry cleaned and pressed, come to 32nd Avenue Cleaners to get the best dry cleaning services in Denver. With over 15 years of experience, 32nd Avenue Cleaners is conveniently located at the corner of 32nd Avenue and Lowell Boulevard in Denver. Call them today at 303-480-9647. That's 303-480-9647.
We are excited to announce our new book, Evidence, that will inspire you with real stories of people who encountered God. In a world where there are so many bad things happening, some wonder, is there a God? If there is a God, why does he allow bad things to happen? These people either didn't believe in God or turned from him and looked for help in everything but God until they had an encounter of their own that changed their lives. Order your copy of Evidence today at www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Don Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us is Bob Williamson, and he went from a homeless drug addict to a multimillionaire.
Wow.
And we're going to hear his story. Welcome to the show, Bob. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. I appreciate being invited.
Yes. So I understand your mom was an atheist. Your dad was pretty much not really into church or God as you were growing up. In fact, your dad had it out for you. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, he just didn't like me for some reason. I didn't start it as far back as I can remember. It wasn't anything I did, but he was very physically abusive and screamed at me and tried his best to just beat me down and succeeded in making me just like him, very mean.
Mm. And I understand that you guys moved a lot. You ended up going to 19 schools, and at 13 years old, you were an alcoholic. 17 years old, you're already into drugs. And some other things happened where you got kicked out of the military. Can you tell me about that?
Well, I was married and divorced, and I've been in and out of jail and trouble all my life. So I decided to go in the military to see if it straightened me out, and it didn't. And after 6 months, I ended up in prison, and I was awaiting court-martial and some serious crimes. And I was evaluated by 5 psychiatrists, and they talked to me for several hours. They had a big fake jacket on me, and the next day, the head psychiatrist called me in. Asked me if I knew what a sociopath was, and I said no. And he said, well, it means you don't have a conscience, no remorse, you're incapable of love. And if I had to guess, you're well on your way to becoming a serial killer. So I said, well, what do I do about it? And he said, there's nothing you can do. It's incurable. So he kicked me out of the military, and then that's when I went to the street.
And that would be really hard, especially not really having anyone to turn to. Where were your parents during that time in your life?
Well, I left home at a young age. I moved 19 different times and went to 3 different high schools. So I didn't ever have any friends growing up. I didn't have any family. So I was just a complete loner. I didn't stay in touch with my parents. So I just ended up going to Haight-Ashbury and getting on every kind of drug imaginable. Probably took LSD 1,000 times. And then I became an intravenous meth addict.
So you started doing meth, and I understand that you even overdosed a couple times. What was that like as you were doing drugs? Was it something that being considered a sociopath, you would maybe have feelings you were hoping to get, or were you trying to suppress some emotions? Do you remember how you were feeling at that time in your life?
It was just an escape mechanism. I turned to alcohol and drugs and sex. I fought all the time. I started with a bunch of brass knuckles and a baseball bat and a .357 Magnum and a sawed-off shotgun. So I was just brutally mean, and being on meth made me very, very dangerous and violent. And I just kind of acted out that psychiatrist's diagnosis of me. And, you know, when you're a meth addict, they don't give it away. You have to steal and commit crimes and rob people to get the money you need. I was also a dealer, a ruthless one. So it wasn't a pretty sight.
Wow. So you were living on the streets and just doing drugs for 7 years. You were doing these drugs, at least meth you were doing for that long.
Oh.
And you ended up in a car wreck. Can you tell me about that?
Well, I had gone to prison, and they could never catch me, and they had trumped up a charge, and I got out, and then I became really violent, and my liver quit functioning for a week. I very nearly died. But when I got out, I just go back to it, and then I got tipped off that the police were sweeping the French Quarter. I was living in New Orleans, so I hitchhiked out of town, and I went to Atlanta. And then when I got up there, I got a job cleaning bricks every day. And when I got enough money, I went out and got drunk and beat a guy up, nearly killed him, broke a beer bottle over his head. And then I got in a car and I had a head-on collision. I very nearly died. And 7 blood transfusions and broke almost every bone in my body.
So you went through all this. Was there any inkling in you at all that there ever was a God or anyone out there looking after you at all?
Well, I was like my mother. My mother was an atheist, and I was an atheist most of this time. But then when I was in New Orleans, I got into witchcraft, and I actually saw it work. And that's the first time I really believed in God. I'd been an atheist, agnostic type, but I saw witchcraft work with my own eyes, and I knew there was another dimension, another spirit world, and I had seen it with my own eyes.
Wow.
And I just thought, if there's Satan, and that there had to be a God.
Hey, Bob, tell me a little bit about when you said that you saw it work. What do you mean?
Well, in witchcraft, you cast spells on people, and I would cast a spell on somebody, and it would work, and you would conjure up demons, and I saw all kinds of things happen. It's really a frightening thing.
So here you were in this moment. Your bones are broken. You've had all these blood transfusions. You're in the hospital. Really, no hope. I mean, seems like your whole life, you really didn't have any hope at all with your dad abusing you. Mom's atheist, you're called a sociopath, and they tell you there's no hope, you know, that you're meant to be some type of serial killer. I mean, that's a pretty horrible thing to be told. And our words are very powerful. What people say can make or break us. And there are people listening now who have been told, you know, you're going to be this or that, or you're not going to amount to anything. And we know that that's not true. In fact, your life had a major turnaround, and we're going to hear about it in our next show and how you became a millionaire and how your life was completely radically changed, even that diagnosis. So, Bob, thanks for being with us. We're going to pray for our guests right now.
Thank you.
Father God, we just thank you so much for this story and for Bob. Right now, in Jesus' name, I'm just sensing that there's someone who's listening and they're really identifying and saying, you know, when I was younger, I remember I went through some type of abuse like that. And I learned how to get hardened, mm-hmm. where I can't feel anymore.
Yeah.
I just really sense right now, there's someone who's listening and saying, I know what that's like. I'm at a spot in my life where I can't feel anymore.
Mm.
And I want to feel again.
Yeah.
The good news is that though our hearts may become seared with sin,
mm-hmm.
Jesus has the power to give us a new heart.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to remove the heart of stone and be able to give a heart of flesh, one that can feel again.
Yeah.
And if that's you, I'm going to pray for you. So Father God, I lift up that person I'm praying for right now, mm-hmm. in the name of Jesus. There may be many who are saying, I want that new heart.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, give us that new heart, the one that you promise,
yeah.
in the Bible.
Yeah.
And we give you our lives. And Jesus, we receive that new heart. We receive you,
mm-hmm.
so that we can be born again.
Yeah.
We'll follow you all the days of our life. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Jesus has the power to set you free. If you feel that there's no hope right now, call out to him. He is the way, and he can help you in any circumstance. And you're going to hear that on our next show with Bob. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.